Now, at this point, you've already probably heard about this research paper right here on the AI takeover that it feels like everyone is talking about. Let me go ahead and read off some of this because this stuff is genuinely insane. And I quote, "The impact of superhuman AI in the next decade will exceed that of the Industrial Revolution." That is the opening claim. You see, this research, led by some of the brightest minds in artificial intelligence, predicts that by 2027, we will have AI agents that are better than any human at every single task. We're talking about a machine running at 500 times human speed, accomplishing a year's worth of progress in 1 week. 1 week. But here is the question that kept coming back to my mind over and over for the past 3 months. Haven't we gone through stuff like this before? I mean, big technological changes that reshaped how society works? We have, multiple times. So instead of trying to predict where this is going to end, why don't we just look back at how this ended before? Because the best way to tell what will happen in the future is to look at what has happened in the past. And what I've discovered is that there have been three previous junctures where society has found itself in the exact same place. Three times where the way society runs was completely reshaped by a new emerging technology. And the best way to know what will happen in this new AI revolution is by understanding what has happened during the three past industrial revolutions. So I started digging, not into AI technology, not into machine learning, but into history, into what actually happened to real, actual, everyday people during these technological revolutions. What happened to the millions of factory workers when machines took over production lines? What happened to the telephone operators when automated switching systems arrived? What happened to the video store owners when Netflix went digital? But more importantly, what happened to the people who saw it coming, who positioned themselves correctly, who refused to be submissive to the world around them? So let me take you back, way back, to show you exactly what I discovered. Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine. The year is 1760. 80% of humanity works the land. Your grandfather was a farmer, your father was a farmer, everyone assumed that you would be a farmer as well. This system hasn't changed in 1,000 years. But then, steam power arrived. Between 1760 and 1840, in just 80 years, steam transformed civilization faster than any change in recorded history. But here's what they don't teach you in school. It was absolutely devastating for the majority. You had master craftsmen who spent decades perfecting their skills, and they watched steam-powered machines do their life's work in minutes. What about the handloom weavers? These skilled artisans fed families for generations. Then you had steam-powered looms operated by six-year-olds that replaced them overnight. Thousands and thousands literally starved to death. What about the Luddites? Have you ever heard of them before? They were skilled textile workers in 1800s England who watched steam-powered machines destroy their entire livelihoods overnight. You had a situation where you had desperate fathers watching machines destroy their entire livelihoods. So what did they do? They smashed the machines with hammers. The government's response to this? They made machine breaking punishable by death. George Meller, hung at 23. William Thorpe, executed, left a widow and 4 children. They fought the machines, and the machines won. Now today we mock them, but they weren't wrong about what was coming. They were just wrong about how to stop it. They tried to destroy the revolution instead of embracing it. While millions suffered, a small group became unimaginably wealthy. Cornelius Vanderbilt built a railroad empire worth $185 billion in today's money. Let's take Carnegie. He used steam-powered steel production to accumulate $300 billion plus in today's dollar. Or the top dog of them all, Rockefeller. He leveraged steam-powered oil refining to become worth $400 billion in today's money. But here is what nobody tells you about this. And by the way, it's actually the most important part of every big revolution. For every Rockefeller, there were thousands of regular people who simply chose the right side. The blacksmith who started repairing steam engines instead of horseshoes, his shop became the local industrial hub. The farmer's daughter who learned to operate a loom, she became a factory floor supervisor, making 10x her father's income. They weren't building empires. They were just smart enough to stop fighting the change and start riding it. Regular people making an income that none of their past generations would have ever thought possible for their families. They weren't royalty. They were ordinary people who saw the pattern and positioned themselves correctly. While others destroyed machines with hammers, they took advantage with those same machines. The difference wasn't intelligence or luck or capital, it was something else. Something I would see repeated in every revolution, a specific decision, a moment of choice that separated the submissives from the ungovernables. And I'll show you exactly what that decision was later in this video. But here's what should make your blood run cold. If it took 80 years for steam to create winners and losers, what happens when the next revolution moves twice as fast? Well, the answer came sooner than anyone expected. Just as humanity was catching its breath from the steam, electricity arrived. And this time it moved at lightning speed, 44 years from start to total transformation, nearly twice as fast as steam. I mean, think about that. Your grandfather's world completely erased before your children grew up. Ford's assembly line reduced car production from 12 hours to 93 minutes. The Model T dropped from $825 to $260, and suddenly everyone could afford what only the rich dreamed of, unless you were on the wrong side. The gas lighting industry employed hundreds of thousands, men who lit the streets every evening, families whose entire identity was bringing light to darkness. Electrical bulbs killed them all in less than a decade. But nothing compared to what happened to horses. 3 million Americans worked with horses and carriages. 3 million. Blacksmiths who'd been the heart of every town, stable owners running businesses passed down from generation to generation, carriage makers whose craftsmanship was considered art. The automobile turned them into ghosts. Master craftsmen who spent decades perfecting their trade, watching assembly lines eliminate not just their jobs, but the very need for their existence. One assembly line worker trained in 3 days could now outproduce 5 masters with lifetimes of experience. But while these millions of people watched their world disappear, Edison built a fortune worth over $170 billion today. Ford accumulated over $200 billion. Westinghouse, $50 billion. And again, for every Edison, there were thousands of ordinary people who simply chose the right side early. The gas lamp installer who took a course in electrical wiring, well, he became the only electrician in 3 counties. He set up his grandchildren for life. The blacksmith's son who learned how to fix automobiles instead of horseshoes, well, he opened the region's first car dealership. His family name is still on buildings today. Regular people, life-changing decisions, generational wealth. They weren't visionaries. They just saw which way the wind was blowing, and they adjusted their sails. And here is the brutal truth about timing. Those who moved in the first 10 years captured 90% of the opportunity. Those who waited for proof fought over the remaining 10% scraps. Those who resisted, well, they became cautionary tales. The pattern was becoming undeniable. Every revolution moves faster than the last. The window of opportunity shrinks and the cost of resistance grows exponentially. But the third revolution, that is when the pattern became impossible to ignore, because this time the speed would double again. 1990 to 2010, the third industrial revolution, the digital one. 20 years, half the time of electricity, quarter of steam, and for the first time in history, we were watching it happen in real time. Your parents will definitely remember this, and maybe even a lot of you watching will remember those Friday nights at Blockbuster, that blue and yellow storefront, the smell of popcorn and plastic, 7,000 stores, 60,000 employees. Netflix started mailing DVDs, Blockbuster laughed, then panicked, then died. Tower Records, Border Books, Kodak, who literally invented digital photography. These are American institutions, hundreds of thousands of employees, gone. Amazon shipped books, iTunes sold songs. The technology that Kodak created literally killed them. The graphic designer who spent $100,000 on art school replaced by Canva templates that anyone could use. The journalist writing for the local newspaper for 25 years replaced by bloggers working for free. The accountant doing taxes with a calculator and a ledger replaced by softwares like TurboTax. Masters of their trade erased. If you were 40 when it started, you were 60 when it ended. Too young to retire, but too old to start over. You were trapped. Now, while millions of people watched their careers evaporate, Bezos went from garage to $170 billion, Zuckerberg from dorm room to 3 billion users, and another time, and yet again, the ones who didn't panic but knew how to take advantage of it, well, they made a lot of money. That graphic designer who lost agency clients, he started selling templates online, $20,000 a month in passive income. The journalist who got laid off, well, he built an email newsletter, 50,000 subscribers paying $10 a month. That accountant replaced by software, well, he became a YouTube educator teaching small businesses, 7 figures annually. Same disruption, different choices. They didn't fight the technology, they became the bridge others needed to cross it. The pattern is unmistakable. Steam, 80 years, electricity, 44 years, the internet, 20 years, each revolution halves the timeline. As I said at the beginning, The best way to predict the future is by looking at the past. So it's only logical for us to assume that if the first revolution took 80 years, the second took 44, the third took 20, that this fourth industrial revolution will take about 10 years. I mean, do you think that's something totally out of this world to assume? I would say no. If we're looking at history, that sounds very reasonable to me. Now, we need to pay attention to what makes this revolution different, because there's one fundamental change from everything we've seen before. And I am going to show you exactly how this particular revolution is evolving right now. Let's go back to November 30th, 2022 at 2:13 p.m. Pacific time, because that's the exact moment everything changed. ChatGPT went live publicly. In 60 days, it reached 100 million users, the fastest adoption of any technology in human history. Radio took 38 years to reach that many people. The internet took 7. ChatGPT did it in 2 months. But that unprecedented speed made me wonder, if adoption is happening this fast, how fast is everything else moving? So I started digging, talking to researchers, reading reports that the public ignores, and following the money. And that's when I found something very interesting. A specific report that Silicon Valley insiders were passing around that had politicians in closed-door sessions that made even AI researchers nervous. And for you to understand the magnitude of this report, I need to tell you about a gentleman called Daniel Kay. Now, he's not a YouTube guru, he's not a self-proclaimed expert, he is a researcher who quit OpenAI over safety concerns. And his track record is terrifyingly accurate. In 2021, before ChatGPT existed, he predicted everything. Chatbots exploding in 2023, hundreds of millions of dollars in training runs, government chip export controls. Every single prediction came true. So when him and his team released AI 2027, everyone paid attention. The report doesn't talk about decades from now, it maps out month by month what is about to unfold. Now, according to their timeline, we are not at the beginning. We are already deep into the transformation, which, by the way, is basically what I've been telling you guys for months now. Summer 2025, that is literally right now, AI agents start replacing entire departments, not helping, replacing. By early 2026, these AIs begin improving themselves, each generation designing its successor, the feedback loop every researcher expects. By 2027, the report describes Agent 3, an AI that codes better than any human. They predict companies are going to run 300,000 identical copies of it at once. Each copy works 500 times human speed. That is like having 150 million programmers working 24/7. And the crazier part is that they claim the infrastructure for this already exists. Just so you understand, when Instagram sold for $1 billion, they had 13 employees. When WhatsApp sold for $19 billion, they had 55 employees. Massive value, minimal workforce. Now imagine that pattern applied everywhere. But what do these numbers actually mean for regular people, for you and me? Well, Goldman's report mentions 300 million jobs affected. You see, in previous revolutions, affected means transitions. Weavers became factory workers, farmers became industrial laborers, typists became data entry clerks. But when AI can do cognitive work, when it can think, write, analyze, create, well, where do people go? Let's think together for a second. The internet was a tool to help you do your work faster, better, and more efficiently. AI is a tool that does the work for you. The internet helped you research to write better answers. AI writes the answers for you. The internet connected you to customers. AI handles the customers for you. Do you see where I'm going with this? Think about what 300 million jobs affected actually looks like in reality. That is the entire workforce of the United States and Europe combined. Picture a college graduation 5 years from now. You have computer science majors, engineering grads, even MBAs. They have done everything right, studied hard, took on debt. But what if AI can do everything they trained to do, but for cheaper? What are these people actually going to work on? This is the one question I set out to answer with this entire research. And after an immense amount of work I put into these, this is the conclusion that I got to. Here's what history teaches us. Every revolution creates two groups. Those who insist on competing against the new technology, the submissives, and those who learn to work with it, the ungovernables. Which brings us exactly to what the researchers are saying today. AI will not replace people who use AI. It will replace the ones who don't. And here's the part that should give you hope. Right now, the tools to position yourself on the winning side are out there and they are accessible to the everyday person. No degree required, you don't need tens of thousands of dollars of capital, no technical knowledge necessary. You just need to understand which path that you are on. So let me show you exactly what these two paths look like. The one who embraces this revolution and the path who decides to resist it. Because once you see the difference, you'll know exactly which side of the equation that you want to be on. So let me first show you what happens to those who don't adapt to AI. And this isn't speculation, it's what we are already seeing. Right now, there are millions of professionals who still haven't even touched AI. They are still writing every email from scratch, still creating every presentation manually, still analyzing data the way they learned 10 years ago. Now they have their reasons. Oh, AI can't capture my voice. Nothing beats human creativity. My clients want the personal touch. And by the way, they're not actually wrong with that, but they're missing something critical. While they craft one perfect email in 30 minutes, their competitors generate 10 variations in 30 seconds. They pick the best one and they move on. While they build one presentation over 3 days, their competitors create 5 proposals in 1 afternoon. It's not about quality anymore, it is about scale. And here is what history shows us happens next. You remember blockbusters? Well, they didn't disappear because Netflix had better movies. They disappeared because Netflix was more convenient. You remember taxi drivers? Well, they weren't replaced because Uber drivers were better. They were replaced because Uber was one tap away on your phone. The pattern here is very, very clear. You don't need to be better than humans. You just need to be good enough and faster. And by the way, I'm literally watching this happen in front of my eyes right now. You have graphic designers who spend years perfecting their craft. Now clients can use AI to get it done cheaper and faster. You have entire customer service teams being replaced by chatbots. Now the chatbots aren't better at empathy. They just never need a day off. You see, these aren't future predictions. These are LinkedIn posts from this week. The people being let go aren't bad at their jobs. They're just more expensive than AI. It's good enough. So independent of which job you do or which industry you are positioned in, you basically have 2 choices here. Work 10 times harder to keep up with this new technology, which by the way is pretty much impossible, or embrace what AI is doing and take advantage of it. Now, I want to be extremely clear about something here. This isn't meant to scare you or make you feel bad. This is just the pattern that plays out in every technological revolution. Some adapt early and thrive. Others resist and struggle. It's not personal. It's not unfair. It's just history repeating. During C19, you watched the exact same dynamic. Most people were waiting for things to go back to normal, protecting their old ways of working, resisting the digital shift. I hope you're starting to see now that sometimes resistance is more dangerous than change. Sometimes protecting what you have costs you everything that you could gain. Look, while the submissive group struggle to compete with AI, there's another group doing something completely different. They are not trying to compete with AI at all. They're doing something else entirely. Let me show you what I mean. You see, I went back through every revolution we've studied to understand this group, and I found a pattern that changed everything. In every revolution, there were regular people who became wealthy. Not the industry titans, but regular people. First, the Industrial Revolution, the factory workers who learned to repair the machines. Within 5 years, he was training others and earning 10 times his previous wage. In the Second Industrial Revolution, you had the mechanic who fixed Model T Fords, then opened his own garage, then a dealership. In the Third Industrial Revolution, you have the data entry clerk who saw computers replacing manual filing. Instead of competing on typing speed, she learned database management. She became the only person who understood the new systems. And in the process, she tripled her salary. Now, what do all these people have in common? They ask different questions than everyone else. While other people asked, how do I protect my job from this technology? They asked, how can I use this to multiply myself? Let me explain what I mean by multiply, by the way. The factory worker didn't just operate machines. He learned how to fix them when they broke. He became the only person who could keep production running. His impact grew from one machine to the entire factory. The mechanic didn't just fix one car at a time. He understood that cars were becoming essential, not luxury. He built a business that served an entire region. The bank teller didn't just process transactions faster. She saw that ATMs handling basic services and realized banks still needed someone to manage the technology. So she learned programming instead of competing on customer service. They stopped trading time for money. Instead, they started building systems that scaled. Today, I'm seeing the exact same pattern with AI. There is a small group, maybe 0.44% of people, who get this. I call them the ungovernable, not because they are rebels, but because they refuse to be governed by the same limitations that everyone else accepts. They are not going against AI or using it just for silly things. They are embracing it totally and transforming the way they work. This is where the market is heading to. And honestly, you should be grateful because we are in the best time in human history to be living in an industrial revolution. And there is still time for you. The tools to multiply yourself are available. No factory needed, no employees required, no investors necessary. Just you, AI, and an understanding of how to deploy it. But here is where timing becomes critical. 18 months ago, AI videos were so bad we literally turned them into memes. Remember Will Smith eating spaghetti? It was horrifying. But today, AI creates content so realistic that TikTok trends emerge around people trying to guess whether it's real versus AI generated. The line between artificial and authentic has become blurred beyond recognition. This is not just gradual improvement. These are quantum leaps happening every few months. And let me be very clear about something. You don't need to become the next tech billionaire. Again, for every Rockefeller or Carnegie, there were thousands of regular people who simply positioned themselves correctly and became wealthy. The local factory owner who supplied one component, the regional distributor who connected markets, the service provider who helped others adapt. They didn't make billions, but they made millions. They didn't become famous, but they became free. The difference between the submissive and the ungovernable in every industrial revolution isn't technical knowledge, it isn't capital, it isn't connections, it is simply positioning themselves in the right place at the right time to let luck find them. But of course, in the middle of this amazing period, there's something that creates real urgency. This window where regular people can position themselves, it is temporary. Every month, more and more people figure this out. Every month, the advantage of starting early compounds. Every month you wait, you need exponentially more effort to catch up. It's like compound interest, but in reverse. So starting now with small actions gets you massive results. Starting later needs massive actions for small results. So the question becomes obvious. If this opportunity is real, if it's accessible to regular people, if the tools are out there, what's the actual model for capturing it? Look, over the past 3 months, I analyzed how people were succeeding with AI. So let me share what I found. First, I looked at AI-powered services and agencies. These are working great for many people out there right now. Faster delivery, higher margins, ability to take on more clients. The opportunity here is very real. Businesses desperately need help implementing AI. And if you have specific expertise, you can charge premium rates as an AI consultant. But there's also a risk. As AI gets better, the need for human intermediaries might decrease. Plus, you're still kind of trading time for money, just more efficiently. Services can work, just be aware of those risks. Then I look at physical products enhanced by AI. AI can definitely help here, better designs, optimized manufacturing, predictive inventory, but you are still dealing with inventory costs, shipping logistics, returns and refunds, competition from Amazon and established players. It is a proven model, but it does require significant capital and infrastructure. I personally wouldn't recommend getting into it right now unless you already have lots of experience. Now, software seems obvious, high margins, scalable, pure digital, and there are definitely opportunities here. Small, focused AI tools for specific niches can work. The challenge, you're competing with OpenAI, Google, Microsoft, plus one API change can destroy your business overnight. Software can work if you find the right niche. I would just be concerned that as AI develops, more software will become obsolete, and you never know if yours will be the next one until it's too late. Then I discovered something very interesting. Digital products powered by AI. Now I'm going to be very transparent. This is my favorite model, not because it's the only way, but because of some specific advantages that I have observed. You create once with AI assistant, then you sell infinitely. No inventory, no shipping, no physical limitations, margins approaching 100%. More importantly, it mirrors what worked in every previous revolution. The factory worker who created training manuals, the mechanic who sold repair guides, the bank teller who developed software training programs, they all sold their knowledge as products and not services. I'm seeing regular people succeed with this right now. Someone selling Notion templates, making 10K a month. Someone packaging Excel formulas, selling six figures annually. Someone creating meditation guides with AI narration, replacing their entire salary. These aren't the only success stories, but they show what's possible with minimal investment. Look, all paths have their pros and cons. Your choice depends on your skills, capital, and goals. But for me, digital products makes the most sense because it's the lowest barrier to entry, it's the highest profit margins, it's true passive income potential, there's no technical skills required, and you can start with zero capital. But that's my analysis based on my situation. Your situation may be different. Honestly, the specific model matters less than the mindset. Whether you choose services, software, or digital products, the key is using AI to multiply yourself, not just improve yourself. Create systems, not just tasks. Build assets, not just skills. Think scale, not just speed. The market for all these models is massive and growing. Businesses need AI services. Consumers want AI-enhanced products. Everyone is looking for AI solutions. There is room for thousands of winners in each category. The question isn't which model is best. The question is which model fits you. Now, if you're interested in the digital product path specifically, I've documented the exact systems that I've seen work repeatedly. Not because it's the only way, but because it is the most accessible way that I have found. In fact, I'm running a 3-day challenge where we will build a digital product together using AI. Completely hands-on, no fluff, just implementation. If that interests you, there is a link in the description, but whether you join or not, the key is to start somewhere. The specific path matters less than taking the first step. Look, during this video, we have traveled through 4 industrial revolutions together. We have seen the patterns, we have understood the opportunities. Now comes the only part that matters. What are you gonna do with this information? Because while everyone's out there saying AI will dominate everything, that the world is gonna end, that humanity is doomed, I believe in the positive side of this equation. Why? Because in every crisis throughout history, it never happened the way the pessimists predicted. Not during the Industrial Revolution, not when computers arrived, not when the internet emerged, never. The doomsday predictions, they make headlines, but the builders made fortunes. Which reminds me of something that Nat Friedman said. Pessimists sound smart, optimists make money. Now you just need to decide which side of the equation are you gonna be on. Now with that being said, I hope you enjoyed today's video, and as always, I'm watching from far, and I'm rooting for you.